Hey everyone, it's Steve. My co-host Adam and I have been exploring Milwaukee our entire lives and have published more than 270 podcast episodes about our incredible city. In this one, Adam and I drop in at the world-famous restaurant Amalenda. We were lucky enough to sit down with James Beard-nominated chef and owner Gregory Leon. Greg also served up a number of excellent Spanish and Portuguese-inspired dishes and wonderful cocktails in an amazingly cultural and equally calming space. What were the dishes we tried? Hint, 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 one is tongue. How did Greg become a chef? What was Greg's unlikely journey to Milwaukee? All this and more in a fast-paced and funny conversation. Experience Milwaukee is generously presented by Nicolet Law. And look for our Milwaukee Legends series in our stream, which is sponsored by Harley Davidson. Our home studio is in the Transfer Pizzeria Cafe, and our official beer partner is New Barons Brewing. Intro and outro music provided by Milwaukee's own Newski. Finally, get in on Monday Milwaukee Experience giveaways at textmke.com. Thanks for listening. Love you, Milwaukee. Hello, Milwaukee! Hey, Adam.
Hey, Steve.
Milwaukee is fun-loving,
up-and-coming,
a rising star.
And now, let's get into the episode.
My name is Gregory Leon, and the name of the restaurant is Amalenda.
Hey, Adam.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Greg.
What's up? Not much, guys. How are you?
This is our first time sitting in this place.
I know.
What the hell
is
took
this
us
your
so,
is this your first
so
time doing a podcast from a restaurant?
No.
No.
No, we've done that before.
But not this particular specific restaurant.
You saved the best restaurant for last, I guess.
I know. I've heard such great things. It's exciting to be here. Usually where we start is just getting to know you a little bit better. What's the backstory to being here today?
The backstory to me getting here?
Yeah.
It's a long story. So I was born in Oklahoma. I grew up in Venezuela. I moved to San Francisco in 94 to do some cooking and become a chef. Then in 2012, after realizing I would never own a restaurant in San Francisco without having a bunch of people involved in it, I decided...
Investors, you mean?
Yeah, but not necessarily just investors. Like, investors that were going to be in the restaurant every day telling me what to do. So my whole theory on opening a restaurant is, if I'm going to open a restaurant and deal with all the lovely
things,
stuff
that
happens...
All the things that restaurants bring,
all the things that you
bring,
have to deal with owning a restaurant.
Yes.
Then at least I don't want people telling me what to do.
Right.
So if I'm going to have telling people what to do, as if I work for them...
Right.
Then I'm not going to deal with all the BS that comes with owning a restaurant.
Yeah.
So... for a while, I struggled. You know, sometimes the universe is telling you it's time to go, it's time to go, it's time to go. And I believe the universe had been telling me for a while to move away from San Francisco. And I was like, no, I got to stay here. If I don't open a restaurant in San Francisco, I'm a failure as a chef. And I went to have dinner with a friend of mine, very wise lady. And she said, well, maybe the plan was for you to be here for 18 years, learn all this stuff, and then take it someplace else. And I was like, oh, well, look at you. Aren't you?
Okay. Look at that. Yeah.
All right.
Kimberly, that was her name. And so,
oh, Kimberly.
She sounds awesome.
She's awesome. Yeah. She is awesome, actually. And so my dog and I packed our stuff up, and we traveled through the U.S. For like half of 2012. And Milwaukee was not on my radar whatsoever. I didn't even know what Milwaukee was.
I was going to ask.
Yeah.
We hear that a lot.
I didn't know what it was or where it was or how cold it was.
It is cold.
And a good friend of mine was like, come visit Milwaukee. And I was like, I don't know where that is. So I looked it up in a map, and I think I told him, I was like, that looks really cold. Like, it's really far up north. But it was the end of August, and he tricked me.
Perfect timing.
And so I came to visit, and I like really actually fell in love with it. I thought it was an amazing city. The people were really nice. It was beautiful. It was the end of August. I think it was like 90 every day I was here.
Uh-huh.
And I was
sunny.
Like, oh, this place is amazing. I ate at some really good restaurants while I was here. Because the other thing was like, I wanted to find a city that had somewhat of a food community, a restaurant.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So I could open a restaurant. And so...
What were some of those places? Do you remember?
We ate at Roots.
Okay.
It's no longer here.
Way back when Roots was... Yeah.
This is like 2012. So.
Sure.
And then that the other place we ate at, and I, you know, I'm actually friends with them, the owners, and I credit them for making me want to live here, is Odd Duck.
Okay.
Because I went and
awesome.
Had dinner.
Over in Walker's Point?
Yeah. Yep. And halfway... Well, this is when they were still in Bayview.
Okay.
And then halfway
through. Right. That is right.
I had no idea they were ever...
Yeah, they're in Bayview.
Bayview.
So halfway through dinner, I went inside to smoke a cigarette. And Ross and Melissa were outside, so I started talking to them, not knowing that they were the owners. Yeah. And it's like, hey, what was it like here? You know, is it a cool place to open a restaurant? Blah, blah, blah. And went back inside and having dinner, and this lady that was eating dinner with us, she's like, oh, you should just move here and do a pop-up restaurant. I was like, oh, you're drunk.
And go home, you're drunk.
About a week later, I came to Milwaukee and stayed. And yeah, a year later, I did a pop-up restaurant. So we did that for about a year out of the National Cafe.
Yeah.
From December of 2013 to January of 2015. And then we shut down and then opened here in August of 2015.
It's a great spot.
Thanks.
It's a really great spot.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. When the first time we did the walkthrough, I was like, this place is a shithole. Can I say that?
Yeah.
It is a podcast. I guess I can say whatever I want.
If it's
sweet.
True, yes.
So I was like, this place is a shithole.
I'll take it.
No, I was like, I don't want to sign the lease. And my partner, my business partner and partner at the time was like, no, you got to look past that. And I was like, I don't. In fact, I'll show you guys a video because on my Facebook memory thing,
a video
popped up of when they were doing the construction. And he has an eye for design. So he's like, no, we can make this place look really, really cool.
Nice.
So I was like, okay, because I can't see it.
Yep. It's got charm and character to it.
Everybody says it's like getting into my house.
Lots of character.
You don't expect, I mean.
The brick.
I came in very stressed, and it immediately calmed me down.
Did it? Really?
Yes.
That's funny, because I come in calm every day, and I immediately get stressed.
Well, you have
How does that work?
you have a different job here.
Maybe, yeah.
So as people come in, do you have to like cook for them, prepare food?
Yes. So I cook every night the restaurant's open. Unless something's going on, then I'm like, I don't have to be here. So like a couple Saturdays ago, Dan and Dan opened Esther Ave, which is their new restaurant in Bayview. And so I got invited to go to the soft opening. They're a good friend, so I wanted to go support. So I wasn't here that night.
Yeah.
But for the most part, every night the restaurant's open, I'm working the saute station. Because that's the fun part of being in a restaurant is cooking.
I believe you, but it sounds fun part complicated is not, to me. Yeah.
You know, it's not. I don't think it's complicated, but what you do is complicated to me. So.
Yeah, sure.
Like I'm looking at all this stuff on the table. And I'm like, I don't know how to do this.
We'll stay over here.
Yeah. We'll hang here.
You do the professional thing.
Cool. So speaking of being a chef,
yes.
What was the turning point for you? This is what I'm going to do for a living.
You know, I grew up in Venezuela.
Yeah,
it's kind of a macho-ish country. Love Venezuela, but you know. Cooking is what ladies do, like what the women do. This was also, you know, we're talking about the 80s when I was a teenager.
Yeah. Sure.
So I really liked food, and I was intrigued by cooking.
Which was the best era, by the way.
Yeah. Hello.
FYI.
Being a teenager
from
like 10 in 1980
yeah.
to 20 in 1990 is the best.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody else.
It was nothing that I was like, oh, I can make a living at this. And so I graduated from high school. We moved back to the United States. Went to college for like, I don't know, a hot second,
yeah.
and like managed to like really screw that up, and I got kicked out because I had really bad grades.
Sure.
And you know, my dad is from that generation. It's like, oh, you got to go to college and get a degree. And
yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what I want to get a degree in.
Yeah.
And one day I was sitting there watching cable, and on the Discovery Channel there used to be a show called Great Chefs, and it was like Great Chefs of the West and Great Chefs of the Midwest or whatever. They had different, and it's. You can still find it on YouTube. And it's not like a cooking show that teaches you how to cook. It's like there'd be one chef doing a starter from one restaurant. There'd be a chef from a different restaurant doing an entree. And so they would be doing their thing. And there was a voiceover, a lady describing what he was doing. But she wouldn't give you, like, quantities and ingredients.
Oh, okay. It was more just like how they're doing it and what they're doing.
Yeah, kind of like, oh, this is how they're doing it.
Like play-by-play, but not with the details.
But not so you could do it at home.
Right.
And, I mean, you know, the Food Network was, like, very new. I think might have had maybe about a year. And also being a chef had no cachet whatsoever. It's not like now that everybody's like, I want to be a chef.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nobody wanted to be a chef. Like, I told my dad, and he's like, what the fuck are you going to do with that?
Why?
No, it wasn't why. It's like, what are you going to do with that? Like, how are you going to make a living at that? But I remember watching the show and being like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is what I want to do with my life. You know, my dad changed his mind once he, many years later when he came to visit. And he's like, okay.
And found all the delicious food.
Oh, you did something with this. Yeah.
Oh, this is what
agree.
You do.
Yeah.
Now we call him. So I was in San Francisco for 18 years cooking.
Yeah.
And then moved here and opened the restaurant. So when he came to visit after the restaurant had been open, then he kind of got it. And
yeah.
We call him the mayor of Omelinda. Because he's 83.
Where does he sit?
He sits wherever he wants. Usually he sits at B1, which is at the bar.
Okay.
And
love it.
They constantly give him scotch. And then he'll get up and walk around and talk to the table.
Just chat it up.
Or, nice. Like, he'll go back in the kitchen and, like, what are you doing? Why are you doing it that way? You should do it this way. And, you know, it's super fun.
That's Dad's job.
Is that part of the community you were looking to build? Or was it more amongst chefs that you were thinking of community?
I wasn't necessarily thinking about chefs, but I'll get to the community amongst chefs in Milwaukee, because
sure.
I'm glad you asked about that. But just like a community where people, like, we wanted to set up a place where people could come in and have a good meal, perhaps get something that they couldn't get at another restaurant.
Yeah.
Forget about the crappy day they might have had for at least an hour or two.
Happened to me.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. You walked in and you're like, what? Like, life is great.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful life.
Yeah.
You know, we also, when we opened, we all wanted to use the restaurant to kind of make our community in general better and try to use it to uplift other people who maybe are starting off in the culinary world. The community amongst the restaurant owners and chefs of Milwaukee is something that I've, like, never experienced what we have here in any other cities. And sure. I will say, in San Francisco, I was never really a chef. I was just somebody's line cook.
Maybe
I didn't really see that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But here, it's amazing. Like,
yeah, it seems like it.
Not everybody. You know, I don't love every chef in Milwaukee. There's like probably three that I can think of that I don't really care for.
Sure.
And we're going to name those next.
Okay. Yeah.
Their names
call
are.
Call them now and guess. And if you guess correctly, you get free dinner at the restaurant.
For life.
Unless you're the person.
Unless you're the person I don't like, you get nothing.
Go to hell.
So there's a big sense of community. We all try to help each other. You know, when I first got here, everybody's like, what do you need? How can we help you? And I was like, what do you want from me? Why are you being so nice?
Yeah.
This is weird. And then I think also it's why... we didn't do as bad as so many other cities did during the pandemic as far as restaurants closing.
Sure.
Because we were all trying to keep an eye out for each other.
Yeah. Respect on that.
Yeah,
that was
big
a tough time.
I get the community thing.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny is this is not the first time we've heard this either.
Good.
There's a lot of everybody says Milwaukee's a great underground food scene because people don't think of Milwaukee and food together.
Hopefully after this year it necessarily won't be underground
right.
anymore.
I hope so too.
Yeah, I think
I'd like
won't
to
be.
Shout it from the mountaintops.
Word is out.
And
Word
we've been
out.
Trying to do that as well.
Good. Well, thank you. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
So let's get into the food.
Sure.
What's the vibe of the food? What do we gotta try? You know, drinks, food.
You have to try, I think the food wise, you have to try the pork shank right now. Are you trying some food tonight?
We certainly could.
Okay.
You're
going to try some food tonight.
I haven't eaten.
Okay. Oh, perfect.
So I have some leftovers in the car from lunch.
No. We're not going to let you eat that. So the food is inspired by the Iberian Peninsula, Spain and Portugal. Early on in my career, when I was 27, I got to go visit Spain, and I'd never been. Had no real thoughts about Spain. I was like, it's a country, whatever. You know, I knew the historical part of it, especially living in Venezuela.
Yeah,
sure.
And just like immediately fell in love with the food and the whole vibe that they have there, and the people, and just their whole relationship with food and cooking. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is great. So that's why we picked that. And then I went to Portugal, and it's the same feeling. So while they're very distinct cuisines, they have a lot of similarities. So rather than picking one, I'm like, we're just gonna be inspired by the whole peninsula. So
nice.
That's what we do. We only do dinner.
Okay.
We actually do lunch. I should take that back. We do dinner Wednesday through Saturday, 5 to 9. And then we've just started doing to-go lunch Thursdays and Fridays. Just kind of testing the waters to see how that goes.
I like that idea.
Our food's fairly rustic. We work a lot with local farmers.
Nice.
Menu changes constantly. So you might come in this week and
mix
find
it up.
Yeah, you might find something this week and maybe I'm bored with it or I don't like it, or you know, maybe it's been on the menu for 3 weeks, so we change it.
Yeah,
that keeps everybody interested.
Absolutely. What about the most important thing to my heart, which is the cocktails?
Well,
I was wondering where you were going
any specialties?
With that.
We have some great cocktails, but unfortunately, I'm not a huge drinker. So
what do you
maybe
usually
we
recommend?
Need to bring Blaine over here. Yeah. So the Lion's Tail is really good.
Okay.
We used to have an apricot sidecar. But I'm not sure if that's still on the menu anymore.
I heard the sangria is really good.
Sangria is good. Okay. We have some great wines. Our wines are only Spanish or Portuguese.
Okay.
And, you know, Blaine Davis is who runs the cocktail program, and he does a great job.
Nice.
Couldn't do it without him.
We are, we can cut you loose after this.
Okay.
And then we'll order something and try it and talk
or
about
you
it.
Just throw food in front of us.
And whatever you want to
do. That.
Whatever you want to do.
Okay, cool.
How do people stay in touch? Watch.
So you can reach us through
showing
Facebook,
up at the restaurant, buying
showing
a bunch
up
of
at
food.
The restaurant.
Get to the restaurant.
Email is info@amelinda.com. Our phone number, I never call the restaurant. It's 415-369-3683.
Dang.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'm going to double check that as soon as I get out.
You don't have to worry about it. We'll put it in the show notes.
And we don't
fact check. And also, if people go to the website, they'll find it.
The website, you can register for our newsletter.
Website. I did that, yeah.
Amelinda.com. Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff.
All the
threads. Yeah, all that stuff.
You're on top of it.
Yep, you are.
Try to be.
Awesome. Well, I'm
gonna go check.
I feel anxious for you because
I like this actually. It's kind of fun to see them struggling back there. Yeah. let me go see what I got on the ticket board, and I'll be right back.
Awesome.
Sounds good.
Thanks.
Oh, hi.
Oh,
what do we got here?
So this is the smoked goat cheese with roasted peaches.
Ooh.
And this
yummy
is
in my tummy.
Blue cheese goat cheese, a blue cheese cheesecake with some sweet onion jam.
Oh.
And wouldn't it be my luck? As soon as I sit down, that stupid thing starts going off.
But yes.
We'll wait until my sous chef's got a look of panic in his eyes.
All right.
Yeah.
So, can I ask a dumb question?
Sure.
Does this go with this?
Yeah, that goes on the bread.
Okay.
And that you just eat like a cheesecake.
Bare
that
hands.
Looks
so, like, if that's how you eat cheesecake, I'm impressed. That would be awesome.
His face into it.
That would be awesome.
Just use your hands.
You're like, yeah.
Everyone's gonna enjoy themselves.
This is how you eat cheesecake.
Is that a ripped menu or what?
It is a ripped menu.
That is cool.
I love it. Try to I don't know, be somewhat conscious of the earth and not screw it over.
Yeah.
So we use our own menus as liners underneath the.
Oh,
that's awesome. Thank
that's
a great idea.
And then you can show people what they could have had.
If you would have come in earlier, this is what you could have had.
Or what I will.
Shut up last month, asshole.
Totally. Or what I write. Dumbass.
You know what my favorite moment here was so far? We walked in.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was yelling at somebody.
And the team was like, what's going on? Not intentionally, but heard you pull someone aside and say, hey, I'm sorry for snapping.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
You know,
it's little things like that. Yeah.
I used to be really bad. And I still tend to go from 0 to 100 in 3 seconds.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm not very patient sometimes. And when I get frustrated,
I'm the most patient, impatient person.
And when I get frustrated, I'll snap at people. And especially if it's been a day where it's just a series of things.
Right on, been building.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, I had asked the person I snapped at to find a table, and he was showing me something on his iPad, and I was like, what are you doing? I don't need to see it. Just
you don't
want
to see my trip to Cabo?
No. And it wasn't even that.
Look at the shirt I'm getting.
Totally. Isn't this puppy cute? And I snapped, and then I felt bad because, you know, I always feel bad.
I thought that was really,
oh my God, you're human.
Really,
it's totally cool.
Nice.
He's got
really
a
cool
heart. So I apologize. Sir.
Yeah. No, that was awesome. Yeah. I noticed it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
See people?
See?
Every
I'm not
naysayers
really that big of an
asshole.
Yeah.
All right, what do you want to do with this stuff?
I would like to ingest it.
So why don't you guys have a couple bites? I'm going to go check at the printer because I heard it going off, and I'll be right back.
Right. Yeah, go for it.
All right. Goat cheese and apricots.
Listen to that crunch, people.
Blueberry cheesecake.
Gorgeous.
It's phenomenal. Yeah.
It's amazing. Goat cheese with a peach jam. And
this
peaches.
Is peaches or
peach jam? Yeah,
apricots.
Oh, I don't know.
We'll double check for you.
I'm
everybody.
Pretty sure it was peaches. Millions of them.
It's like a blend of sweet and savory on this blueberry cheesecake. It comes in a cute little panty thing. So we have a
Hold on.
Adult Arnold Palmer and.
And an adult dreams.
Adult dreams.
Arnold Palmer. Annie Palmy. Yours is an adult Arnold Palmer, and mine is an adult Dreamsicle.
Yes.
How did they nail on the head drinks for us?
That's a
son of a
well balanced.
That's a damn good Dreamsicle.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm back.
You're back.
So and we're back.
Is the halibut? There's a spring onion, green garlic, shallots, leeks, a little bit of rhubarb, and a saffron shrimp broth, halibuts. Mayor lemon aioli, and then some kumquats that have been marinated in olive oil. And then this is a beef tongue
With here we go.
Parsnip and garlic puree on the bottom, a little bit of watercress and mustard oil. And you need silverware. Let's get Ray's attention and we'll get you
Are
some
we
silverware.
Not doing the hand? We're not just.
I mean, you can do it with your hands too.
I'm just kidding.
Let me get Ray's attention.
Okay,
can
if
I
you
get
can.
Some silverware? Thanks.
Okay, while we're waiting for silverware, anxiously awaiting.
You casually mentioned
there was a fake reservation we needed.
The host comes up to me. He's like, I think we have a fake reservation for tonight. I'm like, really? So the name on the reservation is F-U. It's like F apostrophe. Oh, F yourself is what it was.
F yourself. Got it.
The email is abc@gmail.com. And then the phone number, I think it was like 414. I don't know what. We tried calling, but it's a fake number.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like one of the fun things you get to deal with as a restaurant owner.
What
I don't
the
know
hell?
Why somebody
people
hates
are Is there so any way that you could have
miserable in
declined
their life.
The reservation?
No.
Because that would have been a nice F you back.
I called the reservation company, Talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To see if they could do like it. She's like, well, she's like, it's not an account that's registered with us. And I was like, say no more. What?
Yeah, what? Conspiracy.
Then, yeah, it's a surprise. You know, it just, I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
I think it's
I think it's kind of funny, but then it's kind of sad.
It's sad.
A little, it's more sad, yeah.
If that's
where you are.
If that's what you're doing. We've all heard that song, Karma, by Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Yes, we sure
there
have.
You go.
My daughter plays it every day.
I love Taylor Swift.
My daughter is a massive Swiftie.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't call myself a Swiftie, but I do like her music.
I have a great deal of respect for her as a musician.
Yeah.
And a businesswoman.
If it was, yes. If it, but I love that. I love how she approaches music.
Yeah.
If it wasn't being beaten into my ears.
You'd probably listen to it more often.
Yeah.
You sound like my neighbors.
Taylor Swift has a Tiny Desk.
Does she? I've
show?
Not seen that.
Tiny
okay.
Desk concert?
Yeah. That's a must watch.
Okay. They're all a must watch. Have you ever seen one that you've hated?
I've seen a couple that I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah, they're all good. They're like
Lumineers. I watched the Lumineers last night.
Oh, was
on
it
Tiny Desk. Oh, okay. It's brilliant. Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Well, thank you for all of this.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. This is really cool.
Are we done already? This is so much fun. I wanted it to last all night.
We'll be here all night, people.
My wife will never believe that you got me to try that.
Really? You've never had it?
Yeah. Can you? Yeah, I'm.
You got it's.
Oh yeah. You
so
want to dig
think
in?
About it this way. It's made out of the same muscle as a steak would be made out of.
Yeah. There you go, buddy.
But you got to
try it first.
Too.
Oh, I'm trying it. Okay. Oh, 100%. So I was not the nervous one.
So it's sliced tongue.
Yeah.
There's a watercress, parsnip puree, and a little bit of mustard oil.
All right. So I gotta look at this slice
fall apart.
Oh my gosh. I have no idea what to expect here. Is this
just,
the way to do it? Or
that, or you can just like you know grab a little slice like that. That's what kind of bite is that? That's like speaking of tiny desks.
Steps. Speaking of tiny
like
desks,
tiny bite.
This is the tiny bite version of a tiny desk.
Right,
concert.
It is.
It's interesting.
Is that good? You like it?
Oh, he got up and ran to the bathroom.
Totally. Whoops. Sorry. I won't be offended.
I was worried. I'm in the middle ground right now.
Okay.
I'm going to try some more.
Okay, good. But I won't be offended.
Yeah, yeah, respect.
If I had a menu just based on stuff that I would
yeah,
eat.
Yeah, I was just about to
like,
ask you.
What would it be?
If I run a menu based on just stuff that I like to
yes.
eat. Let's see. Cereal.
Awesome.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Cereal. What kind of cereal?
I like
Frosted blueberry
flakes.
Crunch and
Frosted flakes.
Yeah, Frosted flakes.
When
good.
I feel like I need to be responsible, then I'll have some Cheerios. But for the most part,
there
it's
you go.
I
they're heart healthy.
Yeah. Heart healthy. Yeah. Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, grilled cheese sandwiches, ice cream cones.
Nice.
Fruit bars they're like you know like ice cream bars, but they're fruit flavored.
Oh yeah.
I know what you're those. Candy, like it would be a candy menu.
Love it.
Tell you, I have a horrible sweet tooth.
This is amazing.
Adam has a candy show.
Yeah, my son and I do just a goofing around show.
Is it a call-in show?
It could be. It absolutely could be.
I will call in, please.
So it's called Sugar Rush. He's only six.
That's great. I love it
so,
already.
The idea is he tries three different candies he's never tried before, and then he rates them.
How do I listen to the show?
You can find it on YouTube. Just YouTube. Google my name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
You just Google Adam Daris. Google it.
Darus.
And you can see Sugar Rush.
I'm all about this.
We got like 20 of them.
Do you? Yes. This is awesome. I love
it.
He brings candy to my kid.
And now I'm.
Yep, that's also
I'm a little embarrassed because I've always wanted to do a podcast, and 6-year-olds got one, but I don't.
Almost.
Actually, my friend Joan Kazan and I are supposed to do one. So did you hear Joan? A 6-year-old has one. We don't.
Yeah. There you go.
So get on it.
Yeah, get on
that.
Joan.
Yep, get on that.
Thank you for coming to visit us, gentlemen.
Thank you for all of this.
Yes,
this is amazing.
Thank
you. You got to see, you know, it's actually when I was told that you guys want to do this, it's like, can we please do it at the restaurant? She's like, well, that's what we're doing it.
Yeah.
Katie, and I've always, are you familiar with those radio shows? Probably not, because you weren't alive. But like in the 40s, they used to have those radio shows that they would do from like the Coconut Grove.
Oh, yeah.
Those clubs.
Yes.
And like they'd be talking about the people at the club. I kind of envisioned that's what this would be like. Yeah. So.
Us and you got just the people ambience watching.
And people watching and talking shit about other tables.
Yeah, exactly.
This was
good.
Incredible. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, very, very cool.
Thank you very much. We appreciate the visit.
Yeah, thanks, Greg.
I'm glad you enjoyed the food.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Rock on.
Thank you.